What is up? It is Tuesday, April 3rd. I don't know, 3rd today. And it's time for another episode of Inside the Game. I'm joined, as always, by Pain User, Idra, and EG in control. Notice I didn't put an EG in front of Idra's name. No reason why. I don't know. Sorry, Greg. Don't kill me.
Don't apologize to me. It's other people you're going to have to
ask. It's like, yeah. Crack the whip. All right.
Alex is already texting you.
Oh, shit. I've got the phone nearby. We're set. What's up, guys? Another week goes by. Another week of StarCraft 2. And we've certainly got a busy weekend coming up here over the course of the weekend. We're going to talk about both of the engagements that I think all the hosts will be involved with in some way, shape, or form this weekend. That, of course, being PAX and IPL4. But before we get into all that, I want to know how you guys have been this week. Pain User, what's up, man?
Fantastic. Coming off a great week and really excited for IPL4, man. I think it's gonna be awesome.
Have you been casting in front of a mirror in preparation or
no? But
do this, Taylor, you can do it.
I've been trying to track players' progress. Good. through the qualifiers just to see, you know, where everybody's at. So I got my hands on a bunch of replays from the qualifiers, kind of following a few of the storylines there, and then just analyzing the groups. And I just can't wait, man. I'm super excited.
Excellent. Well, we'll definitely talk about then who you're excited for when we chat about IPL4. Mr. Greg, I've seen you streaming this week to an astounding number of people. How things been going?
Really relaxed. I had MLG the weekend before last, or MLG previously, and we're heading into IPL right now, so it was just kind of a down week of practice and relaxing, and just everything's leading up to IPL, getting ready for that.
I know they kind of just melt together, the weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't actually know what day it is. I guess we're on Inside the Game, so it's probably Tuesday.
Yeah.
But yeah, the weekend before last, I was right.
You were right. You were right. Well, we'll talk more about IPL4 coming up. EG in control. If you guys didn't know, he adds another accolade to his long laundry list of accomplishments as he won the internet last night. If you don't know what I'm talking about, tune in to Live on 3 tomorrow. But in control, how's it going?
It's going well. Kind of like Greg said, it's been nice. Coming off of MLG, everyone's in pretty good shape, so we're just kind of maintaining that and practicing and having a good time. The house has never been this full. We have everybody on the team here except for LZ Gamer, which is really cool. The Koreans are really fun to interact with. It's nice spending some time with Chris. We don't get to see him because he's kept in Korea for so long. And, I mean, you'd think, like, as nerds, we'd want more privacy and, like, you know, more space and stuff. But actually, with the entire team here, we're having a lot of fun. We went and saw a musical, actually, which we we should have recorded it because we were going into it, and like poor Anna was like, we're like, you know, if this sucks, like, I can't believe we're doing this. And like at the beginning, the band was like tuning and stuff, and we're all getting up pretending to leave, and Anna's like, come on, guys, come on. She's like, I didn't force you to do this, but it ended up being really awesome.
What was the musical?
A funny thing happened on the way to the forum.
Wait, a funny thing happened on the way to what?
On the way to the forum. It's a spoof on like Greek tragedy.
Oh.
It was really good. Like it was just, you know, unpaid actors and actresses, but they did a fantastic job. And
it was like at a community theater or what?
A high school.
It was a high school play.
Oh yeah.
We didn't realize it was a high school going in, so we like drive up to the location. We're like, there's school buses here. But it actually turned out to be just like community theater held in a high school.
Interesting.
Oh, okay.
I don't see that listed on the Wikipedia page for this under productions. I see like Broadway, Hong Kong, Stratford Shakespeare Festival. Don't see the high school production of that. But it was good, huh?
Yeah, it was good. And we had a fun time. It was like a big team event. We took Semi-Pro Joe, the monster rep, a good buddy of all of ours as well. He and his lovely girlfriend Sarah, and we had a good time. Even the journey there was funny because Ben's girlfriend Abby like got lost 3 or 4 times, and we got a teaser about that. So it was good. And then we also saw Wrath of the Titans, which ended up being, I think, what everyone expected it to be. Just a pretty good action movie where there's this super big bad monster that charges up for the entire movie, and then it gets one shot killed.
Yeah.
Just like, I can't wait for the third one. They got to make a third one so that it's like, it turns out Kronos' father, Gaia, or some shit, or, like, his mother, Gaia, whoever, whatever gender it is.
This is the third one, actually.
What?
Well, yeah. Like, third yeah, this is, one the, is what I mean.
This is the third one.
Oh, yeah. I thought the other one was just a remake of the old one.
No. Actually, they had Remember the Titans. Yeah, oh. with Denzel Washington. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Orb said that film was terrible. And,
What? All right, let us in. Let us in. Seriously?
All right.
You need to explain?
I had a great question that had something to do with the musical, but it's now escaped me. So,
so we got that going for us.
So we got that going for us, for sure.
Which is nice.
Of course, Masters Cup tonight after Inside the Game. But we got a lot to talk about tonight. This weekend, it was a kind of slow weekend. The only thing that we actually had was the, well, I shouldn't say that because someone's going to be like, there was also this event that went on, and there probably was.
Wait. Does this event pay you to?
No.
Have you received your payment to go there yet?
Wait, to go where?
Because we only comment on the leagues that pay us money.
Oh, yes. I've already received a PayPal payment
Good.
Of $9.99 for every minute that I'm going to talk about this. The One Nation of Gamers StarCraft II Invitational, which was put on as sort of – well, they had a poll to, you know, get – or to vote, you know, a certain amount of people in. Had, like, an interesting mix of people that even included, like, Rotterdam. In all of his glory, and you know, recent favorites like Violet and Stefano, and it was Cass who ended up winning that one. And Cass actually is, no, this is the wrong one.
Yeah, didn't Snoot win it?
Wait, yeah, yeah.
Oh, you mean Onog?
Yes.
Yeah.
I have the wrong results up.
Absolutely amazing event. It's put on by the money that is generated from a unification of barcrafts, predominantly on the East Coast.
Yes.
But going as far as, I think, Boston. And basically, they're just looking for a way to give back and kind of grow a company out of that. Just the idea of that league is absolutely amazing. Just absolutely phenomenally amazing. And the people that run it have hearts of gold, and they're doing a great job. And even the story of Snoot is pretty cool. Like, Snoot's path there was really tough. TLO took out two Koreans as well. It was just kind of a cool little foreigner tournament that... You know, $5,000 total prize pool, that's nothing to laugh at, and Snoot came out on top. I think it's his first major win.
You guys expect to see more, you know, more of these types of engagements?
Oh, yeah.
You know, it seems like there's plenty of people out there with the initiative and
the
motivation.
We're looking at the West Coast. I mean, with TESPA coming up, doing a fantastic job, and then with Onog on the East Coast, California, particularly the Anaheim area right around Blizzard, they have an amazing barcraft scene. So I've been kind of taking every opportunity I can to kind of poke at them and say, hey, get off your asses, because they're just as capable of producing something just as awesome, and I'm really excited about the prospect for that.
I think we're going to see more and more. You know, I mean, obviously we're always going to have, like, the big horses, but we're always going to have our Rudies come out, and they're going to slam it. They're going to bring it home. You can check that out at, where did the page go? At onenationofgamers.com, I believe is where their main hub is. Let's talk about IPL4 because that is, next up on the agenda. Of course, you're going to be casting it, Pain User, and Idra, you're going to be playing in it. Idra, your past history with IPL, if I'm not mistaken, and my memory sucks because I'm old, but I believe that you won season one.
Did.
Yeah, I won season one. I got sixth in season two, and then at the first live one, beat Torzane and Artist, and then lost to STC. So
before we talk a little bit about the field there, and if I'm not mistaken, we're going to be able to talk about the brackets tomorrow on Live on 3, but I do not think that they've actually been released yet.
Mm-mm.
So we're not going to be able to talk about those tonight on Inside the Game. However, we could talk about a lot of the players that will be there, everyone who is already sort of in it, and then everyone who could be from the Open. So, Pain User, why don't you kind of kick us off? What do you think? What are you excited for as far as IPL4 is concerned?
Things I'm really... excited about right now, coming off of MLG, is just that every group now in all of these tournaments is insane. anyone can take, and that includes MLG. I mean, the caliber of players now in the majors are just so good that anyone can really take the groups, which is kind of awesome because it creates a lot of excitement in each group. I don't really see a clear walkout in any of these. There's obviously favorites. A player I'm super excited about right now is Marine King, obviously. He's riding a tremendous wave of success, confidence. He's thrown out all kinds of different build orders. He's not really stuck with one style of play. He's kind of shedded the whole, you know, mass bio style that he was using for so long. He's really throwing different looks out there. And he's got a pretty good group. I mean, looking at Stefano and White Raw, Greg and I were kind of talking about this. He thinks Stefano might be able to alter his style a little bit to beat Marine King, which I thought was kind of interesting.
I think the style he developed to play against Polt also works pretty well against some of the biomech stuff Marine King's been doing. I don't think he has to alter it too much, just as long as he plays the style that mixes in roaches as well.
In the early mid?
Yeah. Well, like I was saying, I think you just have to open Ling Infestor, and then once you recognize biomech and the lack of tanks and lack of big marauder count, you just mix in roaches as well and overwhelm them on the ground.
Do you think, like, you've suggested mixing in roaches to stop Marine King's style a few times. Do you think, like, when do you think is the right time to engage Marine King when he does his pushes? Because, like, a lot of the times lately he's been pushing earlier and then reinforcing continuously and fighting little mini battles all along the way and just microing like crazy and kind of overrunning his opponents. Do you think it's about striking him when he first starts to move out and just crushing him and overrunning him? Or do you think, like, how do you think you need to play that delicate situation in the mid-game with Marine King?
Given that you should be playing a really heavy macro style, if you're trying to overwhelm him with Ling Roach Infestor, you're going to want to wait because you're always going to reinforce way faster. You don't want to engage him right away. And then beyond that, it's map-dependent because with that style, you need a really, really good concave since you have so many units coming in. And the Roach is obviously short range, and you're going to have masses of them. So you don't want to engage him right away. But beyond that, it's going to be map-dependent wherever you can get the biggest concave, just like anything else.
Yeah. So, I mean, Marine King, definitely a player I'm very excited about. And then, I mean, just look at the groups right here. We've got Tails, Live, Nesty, Marine King, Stefano, White Rob, Puma, Bold MC, and then Greg's got his work cut out for him as well. I mean, Bomber and MMA. Thankfully, no pro tosses, so Greg can practice his Z.
I'm sure Hero and Parting will come up through the open bracket.
Just straight into your group.
Help.
How come I don't see the groups here? Where are you looking at them?
I had them written down from earlier, but I think they're on Liquipedia.
They're definitely up.
They should be on Liquipedia. There's like a bunch of stuff on IPL4, the online qualifiers, main tournament, open bracket. Yeah, there we go. Main tournament. And scroll down a little bit. Go to group stage.
Okay. I'll find it in a second. Oh, it's all the way on the side. I got you. Thank you, sir.
And Craig, you have history with Bomber, so there's a player in your group that you have a little bit of intimate knowledge of.
I don't know. We haven't played in a long, long time, and particularly after the Ghost nerf, and just kind of the switch from the race styles. CBT has changed a lot since the last time I played him. Even the last time I played MMA, because I left the Slayer's house before the Ghost nerf patch hit. So, while they're players who I have played quite a bit in the past, I'm not sure if I really know how they're going to play going into these matches.
Mm-hmm. One other thing that I think is really cool is that there are a lot of players here that have an opportunity to really make a name for themselves. Greg included, obviously, you know, Stefano, coming off of his IPL3 victory, has another opportunity to really, really impress here. Any player that's not a Korean that makes it out of the open bracket is having huge success. So I think a lot of players have an opportunity to really go out there and do something special. And players that I really haven't seen, do anything crazy for a while that certainly have the potential to beat these top-level Koreans. I mean, just look at the open bracket. We've got tons of good foreigners in there. Red's in there. Up's in there.
It also brings to light, of course, the concept of the GSTL finals being at IPL4. And so suddenly there are a lot of extra maybe Koreans that are going to be there that wouldn't necessarily would have been there in the first place. That seems like it's going to really mix that open up a lot.
Tell me about that pain user. Like, what do you know about the relationship between GOM and now IPL? Because, you know, GOM was working with MLG. I'm going to say it, man. DJ Wheat wanted drama on the show. He asked me about it. He said, Jeff,
those are my exact words,
kind of like sleeping with your enemy's girlfriend, man. It's kind of like doing that.
I mean, as far as I know, you know, I don't know what the explicit terms of the relationship between MLG and GOM was, but I knew they were working together. I don't think that we're trying to isolate and work with GOM exclusively, but we had an opportunity where I think a lot of it really boils down to the fact that we didn't want overlapping events this time around. So any kind of, like, big events we saw on the radar that could potentially conflict with the date that we had everything set up, it was like, hey, you know, if we're going to be running these events around the same time, maybe we could work together and do something cool. And they started speaking to GOM about it, and, you know, next thing you knew, they were like, hey, you know, we could. And I think also the prospect of Vegas and just the whole production together and bringing over the GOM production team, like, I think it's something that they seem legitimately interested too. And I know listening to GSL cast and stuff, Wolf and Kaldor and Artosis say that a lot of the Koreans are, like, really excited about coming out to Vegas and experiencing the United States.
One detail that I feel has been incredibly overshadowed in all of this is the following that was basically issued by GOM TV. And I'm just not sure that I've heard that much out of IGN's camp as far as this is concerned. But let me find the exact. It says, so furthermore, the StarCraft II part of IPL4 will be produced by GOM TV together with IPL, with the mm-hmm. final day of the event, Sunday, April 8th, being additionally broadcasted with Korean commentary for the Korean audience. So, is that correct to interpret that as, like, literally all of IPL4 will be available in Korean then? Like, it'll be simulcast, or is that just the GSTL?
I think that's just the GSTL.
Okay.
And then I also believe, I'm trying to figure out if this is set in stone, because, like, there's a lot of let me just be totally frank, there's a lot of craziness going on right now with the schedule. And, I mean, I don't know if anybody saw, but I linked you to the thread that's been posted all over the place. Total Biscuits having some visa problems, might not be able to get out to the United States. I don't know any more than what I've seen on his Twitter. But
that's literally his last message. So
yeah, that's literally his last message.
So it's possible that
I heard that's literally his last message.
It's possible that maybe he got on a plane. Oh, no, he just tweeted a few minutes ago.
Wait a second. Wait the fucking second, Wheat. So that isn't his last message?
Dude, no, it is his last message.
I hate to tell you, but no. That was a while ago.
So we don't, like, that kind of throws the casting schedule into a little bit of a hoopla. We might have to switch that around a little bit, maybe break up the pairs.
It's going to be, I don't know, like, no one's going to want to cast those players. Like, you're going to have a hard time.
I would never double up my casting time. To do that, I'm not even interested.
That totally sucks.
Think
though.
Is how me and HD took second in the casting the finals poll.
Oh yeah,
nice job, man. Congrats.
Wait, who took first?
Total Biscuit and Apollo took first by about 200 or 300.
Oh, so I see. Okay, now it all makes sense, because now by default, Apollo can't solo cast because technically he only earns half of those votes.
To be honest, I have a friend that works for TSA. And I'm just making things very difficult for Total Biscuit. Right? Sunday, we might have a sort
something
of cool...
Something tell me it's not TSA that's stopping him from coming in.
No, but it is like the embassy and all that.
It's
bullshit.
Like the embassy. Like, I think what... So this boils back all the way to, like, IPL2, I believe, where Total Biscuit had come out here, and I think he did some work in the United States, but without a work visa and without citizenship. And I think they got a little bit upset about that.
So he stole our precious air, and they want it back.
Yeah, like, I don't know what the deal is exactly, but I know that he, like, got extradited or something. And I know his wife is stuck out here in the United States, but he can't get out here to see her. So it's a really complicated situation. I'm not sure all the details on that. And then on Sunday, we're trying to put together something like, and this is something I really want to do, like a home story cup style thing where a few of the Koreans had come to us and discussed possibly casting for fun, which I think would be really cool, and just kind of like throw in random casters and do something cool and fun, like either pre-GSTL or during or something like that. So I think we're all kind of going to be working together on Sunday, but I know the main GOM casters are going to be handling the GSTL. And I think maybe one or two IPL guys will be helping, like, MC and just keep the flow of things moving. But they're going to be handling the GSTO on GOM TV side.
Okay. All right. So going back, Idra, as far as your group is concerned, I know we touched on it just a little bit, bringing those back up now, though. Is there anyone from the potential open bracket that you're actually very much, like, not really interested to see in your bracket, or that you might think people should look out for?
Well, I mean, there's so many good players, because, like, at least seven players coming from both StarTail and Prime, plus all of the invites, and then you have all of the Koreans on foreigner teams. Like, imagine all the complexity ones that are going to be there. JYP and Puma are going to be there. Hero, I believe Taeja is coming. I don't know if Taeja is coming, actually, but Hero's going to be there. So, I mean, there's just so many good players. I don't think it's worth it to even worry about people, because whoever comes up, they're going to be good. Like,
yeah. So then,
a code S-Korean.
Then how do you practice for something like this? Do you just kind of grind?
Same as everything else. Yeah, there's no way to predict who's going to come out, because there's good players from every race.
So Greg, you're 100% right. Violet, Taeja, Ryung, Leenok, Jockji. That's all open bracket.
Oh yeah, Crank is coming too. Players.
Damn.
So yeah, it's gonna be silly.
I mean, it means that in the open bracket, there's gonna be so many, like, just upsets. I mean, with something like that, it's just, you're bound to see great players meet each other. I mean, possibly as early as like third, maybe even second round.
I don't know if anything is seeded or not. There's no reason they can't be at first round, because I don't think there's. I don't know how big the open bracket actually is, but there's enough Koreans. I think it's pretty good odds they're gonna be meeting. Initial rounds.
Sure. In control, we shift our attention to you, sir. Yeah, we're talking about IPL4. I know you're not going to be there. We'll talk about where you're going to be in a second. But you know, any thoughts on the talent that we're seeing here, on the event itself? What we
You
might please enlighten
plenty
us.
Of thoughts, sweet. Jesus Christ.
Enlighten us, brother.
Really excited about being in Vegas. There is a tightrope walk act being done here. It could either be a fantastic city for this, and it's like it's awesome that now is the time, strike while the iron is hot, all that good shit. Or it could be Atlantic City, where actually people aren't that interested in traveling to Vegas to go watch StarCraft. And obviously I think that one's the more unlikely event. I think it'll be a great audience. I think the city's perfect for it. It's a gaming city. It's a competition city. It's definitely... I really feel like it's a great backdrop for this event, and I'm hoping it is. But it's exciting because it's a place that's been tested and tried before and had mixed results. So I'm always excited when a big dog walks in like IPL and says, pay attention, we're going to do this correctly, because I think it's a new opportunity for everybody. Beyond the event itself, the actual competition, I'm very, very interested to see how it goes. I think the foreigners have kind of taken on an attitude collectively of like, well, that's a messed up tournament. Like, that's freaking hard as shit. So what I'm looking for is, like, the micro stories that you're just kind of referencing, the little upsets that could occur.
Sure.
The Ghost users over Polt, if you will. The Delphi from Homestray Cup over Marine King. Like, those little results that nobody expected.
Sure.
At IPL, especially in that open bracket, which is a lot more unforgiving. There is not a loser bracket, if I'm not mistaken, right?
It's single LM?
No, it's double.
Okay. Is it double? Okay. Well, in either case. The other nice thing here, too, is IPL is using far and away different maps from most of the other tournaments. There's definitely a lot of repeats, but there's also a lot of maps unique to IPL, or at least as far as the foreigner scene is concerned, IPL is the one that's bringing those maps out into prominence. So I'm kind of excited for that as well, because I think that rewards the players and teams that prepare better and are able to think on the fly, as opposed to the guys who are relying on the masses to show them the way, and then they just practice what everybody else does. So I think that's a different element that I'm really excited about as well. And then obviously my EG bias has to shine through. We're bringing everybody except for myself, and I think Jake might not be going. Of course, we'll talk about PAX East in a minute here, but I'm just really excited. I think a lot of these guys are playing really well. Having sat in this house and seen them play and practice with them and talk StarCraft, I think there's a really good chance for a lot of pretty strong results from my team in particular, so I'm pretty excited for that.
So you mentioned the new maps. I'm really curious, like, from a Protoss perspective, and Greg, you as well, from a Zerg perspective, how you guys feel about the map pool and the maps that are going to be used, and like specifically the new maps. You can probably bring it up on Liquipedia or something, but Sandshorn Mists, Darkness Falls, Atlantis Spaceship.
Ohana. We'll see how it goes. I think in
I don't see Ohana on here, actually.
No,
oh, okay. In general, not that Zerg's needed this, but that they have more of an excuse to complain, because I think these maps are better for Protoss and Terran than they are Zerg. Atlantis Spaceship is a pretty good Zerg map, but the other ones are not necessarily like Zerg graveyards, but they're, in my opinion, better for Protoss and Terran.
Yeah, Sandshorn Mists seems very difficult for Zerg.
Well, Calm Before the Storm is like free loss, ZV anything. Terminus is pretty bad as the matchups. Tal'Darim, every Zerg hates. Shakuris is mediocre. Daybreak is good. It's not a good map for map pool for Zerg at all. Like, it's tough.
What about the new maps? Are Atlantis, Darkness Falls?
I'm not as familiar with them. I played Darkness Falls a bit. There's enough like side paths, and it's kind of big. You can kind of run around and play counterattacky, and if you play Infestor style, Terran has to run through chokes in a lot of different areas.
Yeah. It looks
Atlantis
like
Spaceship's a good Zerg map, though.
Legit.
I'm looking at Darkness Falls. Darkness Falls just looks like it has those little cliffs, like Crossfire. That
there's little features you can take advantage on most of them, but on the whole, it's not great.
The problem for Zerg is looking at this map pool. Mm-hmm. Calm Before the Storm is a Zerg graveyard. Darkness Falls, I think, is like it falls on the Protoss side, and then some like Zergs complain about Tal'Darim Altar, but I think that's mostly okay. And then Terminus is pretty bad for him. But there's no Zerg graveyards. The problem is like Zerg map pools have maps that fall very very strongly on the Zerg side, so they get bitched and owned really strongly, like Metalopolis and Dual Sight.
Yep.
And when those get removed, there's not a lot of neutral Zerg maps. Maps where Zergs are like, yeah, it's pretty okay.
Everything is either kind of shit for Zerg or really good for Zerg. So
that's the
kind of shit for Zerg ones don't get removed, and the really good for Zerg ones do. And then we're just left with everything being kind of shit.
So, Calm Before the Storm, it's like basically, I mean, it's like it's
free bases.
Yeah.
Amazing for Protoss. Just absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
Especially with that back base, because what a lot of Protoss can do is the natural is narrowed down enough that you can actually just forge fast expand to the forward base. And then that third base, because of the size of the map, like if you get cross spawns against a Zerg, it takes them forever to get an Overlord to that third. And there's certain strategies where you can even block that Overlord and that kind of thing. So
hide tech and shit there.
There's a lot. I mean, the main, like there's so much space to build inside your main that something else has to be discussed. So even the Zergs that are doing their due diligence and scouting aren't guaranteed to get the information they need. And then again, because of the size of the map and the infrequency for which it's played, hiding pylons errs on the side of the Protoss, because it's easier for me to go into a map I've played less times and find a good spot for a pylon than it is for the Zerg to find a good spot for the
right
in a game. So the map just tends to be better for Protoss. I mean, like, look at the things Protoss want in a map. They want a ramp to their natural. They want three bases. This map gives you both of those in spades. Really hard for Zerg to recoup from that against Protoss, but it's also bad ZVT, not to the same extent, but still bad.
I think it's also really tough just because of the obstruction in the middle, and then those four points kind of in the corners around middle with the double ramps. So like, I guess you could consider each of those like a really important capture point for Terran. The double ramp locations with the high ground.
Are you talking about Calm still?
Calm Before the Storm. I think it makes it really, really tough against Terran and Protoss just for Zerg, because there's so many chokes, and then you have to work your way around, and the counterattack avenues are actually quite long. It's very difficult to just... If a Terran takes control or a Protoss takes control of some territory that's really threatening to you, it's difficult to punish him for that on this map, because, like In Control said, it's really easy to cross your T's and dot your I's as you take your three bases and keep a very, like, solid base going. You can defend very easily, I think, and that makes it very difficult for Zerg.
Are there towers on... Oh, no, just the one. Okay, thank you.
Which one?
Never mind. There's just the one in the... It's just a doodad outside of every base on Calm Before the Storm.
Yeah, there's just the one in the center, I think.
Yeah.
Also, $40,000 first place prize.
Yeah, that was the other thing that, you know, definitely talk about, because a lot of people are looking for another opportunity to pull down that lever and hear Chichil dropping frames. Oh, there we go. Okay. Well, I don't know what happened. Like, hello?
Yo.
Hello, guys. So, I'm not sure, but probably what happened is a cow probably ran into, you know, one of the internet poles that we have out here. My whole internet dropped, so my apologies. Great. Now it says group video is not available. All right, can you guys try to turn your cameras back on one more time? Really sorry about that. Or
okay. Are you getting mine?
No. I might have to hang up and recall you guys. I'll just do that real quick.
It's not letting me enable mine.
Okay, I'm going to just recall. Okay, here we go. Let's try this one more time. Sorry about that, fellas and gals. As I collectively hear my whole family go, "What happened?" Is the internet just took a giant crap. It's not letting rejoin. Okay, I'm going to remake the call then. This is fantastic. We're going to get the guys back on. We were talking a little bit about the prize money for the IPL 4 event coming up this weekend. Going to be talking a little bit about also PAX, which Jeff and myself will be at. And let's see if we... Hello.
Hello.
Is it letting you bring your video up now?
It doesn't seem to be responding when I click on it.
Okay. Well, we'll just go ahead and we'll see.
The joys of Skype.
Yeah, it's totally a wonderful program. I love it so much. Okay, well, I'm going to noodle all you guys until it comes up. Jeff, are you able to start your video?
Yeah, I mean, it shows me my video.
But it's just not showing Skype over here. Okay, I think I would have to, like, actually close Skype. So we could either do that, take our break now, and then go through the whole thing.
Yeah, I just do that.
Okay, we'll just take our break now, and then when we come back, hopefully everything will be fine and dandy. So, guys, keep it here on Inside the Game. Sorry about the technical difficulties. We'll be back with more after this. Welcome back. Sorry about the technical difficulties. I think it's all Pain User's fault. I'm not sure, but Pain User, I'm gonna say that it was probably your fault this time. Okay? No?
Dad.
You're okay with that? Okay. All right. Just this time. You're going to have to be the scapegoat. So anyway, welcome back to Inside the Game. We were talking a little bit about the prize purse. I was talking about pulling the lever, and that is apparently exactly the time when my internet went down. So now that the lever has been pulled, Taylor, I think you were going to make a comment on this.
I was just saying that, you know, regardless of the shock value, you know, obviously that's part of the reasoning behind it. I think the exposure from mainstream media is going to be awesome. And the more events we have like this, you know, it's just going to keep on pushing it. And I think a lot of mainstream media will be especially interested in the choice of venue. You know, like Jeff was saying, it's a fine line. It's a tightrope act. And I think if executed properly, like, this is where I feel like, you know, gaming needs to go. I mean, it's a new age thing. It's a new age sport, almost like an extreme sport. It's also very techie and futuristic feel, if you will, if you're looking at it from the perspective of a potential venue in Vegas or in an area like that. So, and I think that, you know, Vegas is definitely interested in doing things with gaming. I mean, there's no doubt about it. It's one of the largest industries on the planet. So if we can break that threshold and establish, you know, a cool working relationship with one of the largest venues in Vegas, then, you know, this is just the beginning of something that could be pretty spectacular.
Right on. I mean, good thoughts as well. And I definitely will be looking forward. I understand the VIP tickets are sold out.
They're very close.
I was just on the Eventbrite page here, and I can confirm, if you didn't get your VIP ticket, you fucked up, because they're sold out right here. Boom!
Gone. Don't ask. Don't bitch. They're gone.
By the way, I might be an idiot, right? So someone tell me, right? I see Penny. Yes, that's true. You might wait. It says that with the VIP pass, you get a limited edition IPL4 poster signed by Alvin Lee.
Who the fuck is Alvin Lee?
Okay, thank you. I don't know. Who is Alvin Lee? Who do you guys know?
Wait, who
no
is
idea.
I now I've got to look it up. Alvin Lee. What do you think the first Google hit is going to be? Alvin Lee.
Porn star.
Oh, hold on. Well, here we go. This guy. Here we go. Alvin Lee. There you go. Music.
Oh, is this guy like a Vegas performer or
I don't
something?
Know, dude. Look at this picture, man.
Oh, wow.
He's like looking down a chess set in a fisheye lens. Like, there's some really rhetorical shit going on in that picture right there.
Who is he?
I'm down. Well, I don't know. Let's. Oh, wait.
From what I've gathered
in
the.
Can I see this? I don't know who he is, but I want the shit out of one of these posters, Pete.
Rock guitarist and singer. Began playing at the age of 15.
You know what? You get your values worth. That can't be who it is, is it?
Well, that could be just washed up in a Vegas performer now, and he was just there when they decided to make the contest.
Exactly. That's my best guess. Yep. Is like random Vegas performer. Well, 01.
Alvin Lee is like he's that's the only name that comes up, man. So there you go.
Oh, he's Randy's replacement. Someone in the chat said. That might be it. That's,
Randy's
that's a really
replacement.
Good guess. Yeah.
So wait, there's a new fake guy?
No, I'm kidding.
Oh, okay.
I think he is too.
So Randy,
you know what though?
Be
can
there.
I say this? Alvin Lee, his autograph on posters goes for a really good rate, and it's just amazing that IPL was able to organize this. Like, it's just Alvin Lee on a poster, man.
Well, There you go.
No say.
No say. I, well, do you know who Alvin Lee is?
No say.
Okay.
Alvin Lee is the seventh best Asian guitarist for postmodern rock in the United States of America. That is what I believe I've heard.
Check you saying he's a comic book artist.
Wait, Alvin Lee? No, there's Kevin Lee.
There's Alvin Lee, Stan Lee's son.
No, Kevin Lee is, I think, is who, from Image, right? No. Is that right? I don't know. Fuck.
Alvin Lee was apparently in Tropic Thunder.
He drew the poster. Got it. Here we go. It's been solved. See? There we go. Okay. Ah, nice. Oh, look at that. That's pretty fucking awesome. He's got a picture of Skeletor and He-Man on the front page doing epic battle. Right on, man.
That's awesome.
I like the washed-up 70s rock guitarist better. Personally.
Thank you.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. This guy's art is pretty good. Maybe if this guy speed drew something, if Alvin Lee speed drew StarCraft characters while Alvin Lee was fucking rocking out with guitar solos,
yes,
that would be the VIP plus package.
Alvin Lee serenades you while Alvin Lee, obviously, giving away too many...
I've given away too many great ideas already. So, all right. Any other comments on IPL4? Watch it this weekend. There's going to be a lot of different ways to tune in, so make sure that you're checking it out. Starts Friday. I believe it'll be going all day long, so you won't want to miss it. Check out your local bar crafts, all that good stuff. All that good stuff.
Don't miss the GSTL finals either.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Which... How does that work? Do you know, as far as like it's available to anyone who not only
their payment. I know we tried to get it under one package, but I think that was. I don't think the relationship is at that point yet where we can start, you know, splitting funds amongst the same pay package. So they're still going to be doing the GSL payment scheme. So you're still going to have to buy a ticket to view the GSL GTSL finals, and it's going to be separate than the ticket you're buying for the IPL event.
To do justice to Alvin Lee, I found out exactly who he is. Would you like me to read his bio?
Please. Hit me.
I'll be doing it in the voice of Deckard Cain from Diablo 2. Okay?
Great.
Alvin Lee began his artistic journey the moment his tiny hand could hold a brush. That same hand was beckoned into the world of comic books at the age of 17. It's too fucking long, but that's... Okay.
Dude, your guy. Deckard Cain is pretty good, man.
Oh, I'll destroy it, dude.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh, we got a Deckard Cain challenge here on Inside the Game. Pain user, please find an appropriate portion of text to read.
Oh, fuck that, dude. Help! Help me! Help! Hello, my friend. Stay a while and listen. Done!
That's like from the game right there.
Of course.
I don't want to take it from him.
Okay, so. All right, Jeff, it's your turn. Now, I'll tell you what, Jeff, if you can rhyme something, I'm going to basically say you win because you incorporated rap into the Deckard Cain.
Page user's impression is crap, and if I could do it in a rap, I would do just that. But he's a tired guy, and I don't want to upset him. Because if I did, he'd sit on my head.
All right. There you go. I don't know what that was, actually.
Ah, you have the Herodric Cube.
All right, enough.
I'm not, just like,
I can't do anymore.
What I do my Deckard Cain impression, all right? So I squeeze just enough shit out of my ass that I have to pinch it. Coming out, and then I go, you have the Herodric Cube, and I have to, it's a balance between the poop, my voice, and Yosemite.
Alright, well, you know what, I could tell Greg is getting a little bored, so Greg, it's time for your Deckard Cain impression.
He's like, what the hell are we talking about?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Okay, you know what, that's why we love you, Greg. You don't, do you know what, oh, I guess Jeff already said it was from Diablo 2. That would have been the next question, is do you even know what game it's from? But I guess
I wouldn't have.
You wouldn't have.
Okay. You know what Greg's response would have been?
Damn well I haven't played any other game.
Why do you even present this
your
question?
Your impression is just as good as your Deckard Cain impression.
Pretty good. All right. Let's move on. Let's talk a little bit because, In Control, you said you are not going to be at IPL4. The other, you know, I can't even say it's a comparable event to IPL4 because it's not. But what is kind of interesting about it is there is more and more competitive gaming sort of showing its face and getting some attention at a big convention like PAX East. So, In Control, maybe you could tell us a little bit about what you're going to be doing there. I know there's a lot of people that are excited to, you know, that they're going to this. They can't go to IPL4. What this means, take it away.
PAX East is a really important event for, I believe, StarCraft and probably, at this point, competitive gaming in general, just because it used to be a very giant fanfare convention-type event that was very specifically against competitive gaming. They were targeting more the general casual gamer and just trying to make it very laissez-faire. I mean, they actually actively pushed against competitive gaming. Whenever a component of competitive gaming went to them and was like, hey, we'd like to do a booth or kind of show our wares, something like that, they were like, nope, we don't want that. We actively don't want that. But they've kind of taken a turn. And they took that turn, I think it's a year ago now, with PAX East 2011. And it was right around StarCraft 2 that kind of inspired that change.
Right.
It's a really big freaking deal. It's a way for StarCraft 2 to get introduced to a bunch of people that perhaps wouldn't otherwise. It's also an event in a city that otherwise would not host a StarCraft 2 event of this magnitude. So a lot of fans that can't travel to an MLG or go to an IPL, this is a great opportunity for them to kind of have it brought to them to a certain extent. So Kingston is sponsoring a booth where you can actually go and challenge myself while Artosis commentates this time around. And last time it was DJ Wheat and we had a blast, but also...
It was fun.
Yeah, so you can actually challenge me for gear. We just have a good time. It's really casual. And then one extra added thing that's kind of the blessing and the curse is because it's on the same weekend as IPL, which really sucks, because obviously, you know, EG needed me to go to this, and Kingston's really appreciative, but I can't be in two places at once. The nice thing is Sunday they're going to have a big, big bar craft to watch IPL's finals, and I can tell you all the StarCraft personalities are going to be there, I'm sure. You know, I can't speak for them in terms of vouching for them, but I'm sure everyone's going to try. And I'm really excited about that because bar crafts are actually, like, in my opinion, one of the biggest kind of grassroots movements coming up that's going to really help propel StarCraft into the future as a big mainstream competitive thing. And it's because of casual viewers taking it more serious and putting it in the public interface that's going to allow for that to happen. And this is a big celebration of that. So whenever players and casters and community people are able to go to a BarCraft, it's a bigger event. So this one's going to have, again, nothing official but myself, DJ Wheat, JP, Artosis. I think Day 9's going to stop by.
Yep.
That's a pretty star-studded cast of people that are very involved in StarCraft 2. So for those people to come out and celebrate IPL4's finals the best way they can at a BarCraft, it's got me really excited. But we're also going to be doing a live state of the game, which is an amazing opportunity for us to do a panel at PAX East, because that's actually the next stage up in terms of competitive gaming or StarCraft 2 getting involved with PAX East. That was one of the big things, is panels are a big deal at PAX East.
Right.
And StarCraft panels at PAX East, no chance in hell, but they're able to do it. Clutch is reminding me, he'll be there too. So the best dancer in all of StarCraft 2 will be there, which is pretty amazing. So to have a live state of the game, to have that BarCraft, to be able to do a booth on their main floor where you can come and play, myself, a professional StarCraft 2 player, while one of the best commentators in the business after Wheat, Artosis, is commentating. It's an amazing StarCraft 2 event. So everyone there is pretty sad they can't go to IPL, but this would be the next best thing.
And, you know, just for those of you that are going to PAX or anyone who's going to listen to this VOD or watch this later on that is going to be attending, you know, last year, as Jeff mentioned, they had the live state of the game. You know, this year not only, of course, will Kingston, that's where your booth is, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so, you know, not only will they be continuing sort of that, doing the show matches, but also with the state of the game, there's going to be a panel that I think will be really interesting that is got a series of game developers and key individuals in the streaming world who are talking more about how, you know, games are have shifted from single player to multiplayer, and now we have the shift from multiplayer to spectator game. And, you know, StarCraft II and is definitely one of those. You know, Tribes is trying to establish itself as one of those games as well. Mm-hmm. So I think that will be really interesting. Additionally, there's going to be a Twitch booth at PAX. And they asked a bunch of people who do shows on Twitch to come and do, you know, fill like an hour at the booth. So I'm going to do a live on three sort of esports Q&A. This year is kind of special for me because it marks my 10-year anniversary of international commentating. And so I want to talk a little bit about my first event. And not yet. It's not till October. So thanks, Jeff. But
I will save
And then, you know, just talk about sort of like the state of esports as it's been over the last sort of year and a half, and do a Q&A. And then one that I'm very excited about, every hour at 1, at 1 p.m. in the Twitch booth, I'm going to actually do a how to set up a stream in an hour. So if you've ever, like, wanted to just know how fucking easy it is to just, like, fire up a stream. What?
I thought you were just supposed to Skype Gunrun and TeamViewer with him.
Well, that's not a part of my thing. You know, believe it or not, people can do stuff on their own. So, but, yeah, that's gonna be the last item. If all else fails, Skype Gunrun. So I'm really looking forward to it. I think that you know, it's nice to see more sort of competitive gaming and esports make its way in to PAX and get some exposure there. There's a lot of people, a lot of industry people. It's definitely one of the leading North American conventions that's going on right now.
It's a big deal.
So I'm really excited. And, you know, for those who are on the East Coast, it's a little chance for them to get some StarCraft in their weekend without necessarily being at IPL4.
And I want to. I also want to clear the air, too, because this is like, I'm in a unique situation where I'm a competitive/professional player, but I also do these other kinds of events. And this is one of the first times where the choice was PAX East or IPL. And at the end of the day, I told my team, I said, I will go where you need me the most. And they said PAX East because of how big of a deal PAX East is, because of how important Kingston is to EG, and because of how many opportunities there are to really impress new sponsorship and new companies. So I'm going to be doing more stuff like this. It doesn't mean I'm going to skip out on every tournament and become something different. I'm still a player, but I just want to make sure I put it out there that, like, I will do whatever I can to do the best job I can for my team first and then myself. And in this case, it ends up being PAX East. But don't think that this is like a... Like, I've had weird people say, like, you know, you're choosing this because you're realizing you're less of a player. And it's like, no. My win rate could actually lose. I could be winning 1% of my games, and I'd still be going to fucking tournaments because I love StarCraft that much. So, that's just the way it is.
Oh man! So if you guys are going to be checking out PAX, make sure that you hit us up at DJ Wheat and at EG In Control on Twitter. And if you're going to be heading on over to IPL4, hit up at PainUser and at IdraJIT. We'll be spreading out the Inside the Game crew across the whole upper.
Yep. And spreading the StarCraft gospel.
That's right.
One city at a time.
That's right. One
Barcraft,
city at a time.
Man.
Barcraft, and, I am also really excited for, Jeff. I told you that the first and only Barcraft I've ever been to was Chow Bistro during MLG Raleigh last year. And it was amazing, and I just cannot wait. I mean, it's just it's an amazing way to experience it. If you cannot be there, if you're going to be at home anyway,
yeah,
you know, find a local Barcraft, check it out. I guarantee you will find another individual, and you'll be like, oh my god, this guy, he likes to talk about StarCraft too. And then you'll get married. It'll be great. We'll talk about it here on Inside the Game.
Dude, shout out to Chow Bistro. One time I've been home in the last, like, 3 years over Christmas break, they actually threw, like, a coming home party for me, and a lot of people turned out. And it was my first and only Barcraft I've attended thus far, and it was absolutely amazing. They made me feel really good. So big shout out to Chow Bistro. And just to echo Wheat's sentiments, if you haven't been to a Barcraft, get your ass out of your house.
Get your ass to Moz.
It's amazing, man.
Definitely. So one other event that's going on this weekend that you're probably going to want to keep your eye on, and because the schedule is going to be offset by the fact that this is a European competition, you shouldn't have too much problem, but that is the Gathering, which is kind of an interesting little competition, because I don't know if you guys know much about like the Gathering of last year, but let me actually bring up the if they have it, let me bring up the stats. It was almost primarily players from the Netherlands, from Norway. And, I mean, you know, Sho ended up winning it. Sase took second, Knight in third. But when you looked at, like, the BYOC qualifier and whatnot, as I switch on over, I mean, there was, like, not that many high-level sort of, you know, StarCraft II players. You know, we had Sho, Thorzane, Bishu, Sase. These were the invites. Cataplasm, Fury, Snoot, Freds. This year, though, guys, I mean, it's like, it's completely, you know, it just goes to show what one year of success can do for you. Because this year at the 2012 competition, as we go down, you know, the invites, the participants already, Grubby, Bishu, Nighten, Range, Titan, Biohazard, Lucifron making a return, Zhou, Murs, Thorzang, Braddock, Snoot, Morrow, Phoenix, Happy Zerg. So, I mean, really, it's kind of the who's who of European you know, competition, like high-level competition. But it's kind of interesting that these players also are, you know, they're not going to IPL4, which makes it a little, obviously, Euro less heavy competition over there.
Yeah.
But, you know, this I think will turn out to be a pretty interesting event as well.
I think it's tough now with, you know, the amount of tournaments that are out there. And then, I mean, we were just talking about all the players at IPL4. If you're a European team, you got to look at your cost benefit analysis, right? You're flying players out to Las Vegas for, you know, potential chance at bringing home some money and getting some name for your team. But, I mean, it's expensive, especially from Europe.
And if you look at that open bracket, like, Morrow and Thorzane and whoever else, they're all great players, or the chances they're going to make it through an open bracket with, you know, 10-plus Code S players and a bunch of Code A players in it as well. It's just like, it becomes very hard to justify a Europe to America plane flight when you look at that competition.
Yeah, I totally agree. Somewhere along the line, it just became a mini GSL.
Yeah.
Shout out to the Gathering, by the way. Like, if Stream Chat can correct me, I believe they're allowing Imba StarCraft to actually do some of the casting for that tournament. So let's give it like 5 seconds to see if the Stream Chat yells at me or not. But my point is, I'm pretty sure that's the case, and that's pretty awesome, because that would be an example of like a bunch of guys who haven't been really doing major stuff. They've been kind of trying their own thing and growing a small community around themselves, and then getting it to a stage where they're actually invited to do bigger things. So, Stream Chat, yes, okay, so they are doing that. So I want to give a big shout out to not only that tournament for taking that chance, but also for the Imba guys for working really hard and now having it pay off with a tournament that has over $13,000 in prize with a great list of European players. That's really cool. Like, that kind of stuff is very reminiscent for me of the Bar Crafts and the other, like, you know, the Tespas and the Onogs. It's like people putting in the time, doing the work, and it paying off. And I think that's another example of it, and I'm really happy and proud for those guys.
Yeah, it's also
putting yourself out there too. I mean,
yeah.
They this land too, it's like they are touted as having, you know, some sort of ridiculously stupid upload and download pipe, so it's a true land with like 5,000 people showing up. And you know, it's just cool to know that, like, we don't have that culture in the U.S. anymore. I mean, the land scene is virtually dead. Like,
it's sad,
there's
man.
A lot of local lands. There's the once-a-year QuakeCon that's more focused, you know, to FPS. But, like, it's kind of amazing that we don't have a U.S.-based DreamHack.
Yeah,
you know, because you can't tell me that there aren't motherfuckers that would go to a massive LAN party if it happened.
I used to all the time. There were the NVIDIA LANs all the time. I mean, and now it's just few and far between. They hardly ever happen, and there's thousands of people that would go. I mean, everywhere, especially in areas like, you know, California, a lot of East Coast areas.
I would travel.
I wonder if it's the legality of it. I wonder if too much legality got in the way.
Well, and also a lot of just like...
I know DreamHack actually has a lot of game publishers giving them shit for using their games without proper licensing, and they just get away with it because they're in Sweden under Swedish law. So I definitely see that being a big problem for anything that grew to that scale in the U.S.
Yeah. If you did an Xbox land, I bet you...
I know in the U.S. there's always been a lot of theft, too. Like, a few idiots will just ruin it for everyone. I mean, keyboards, mice, sometimes even whole PCs. I've seen whole PCs just get, like, walked out of lands. Like, just, I don't know. I think security might have been an issue in the United States because... a lot of kids are just really disrespectful and didn't understand how cool it actually is. It's like a privilege to go be with thousands of other gamers and enjoy games together.
Another shout-out, too. Tomorrow, the Copenhagen Games start, which MC won last year. Thank you to my Twitter followers for reminding me. Just for everyone listening, give them a checkout. You know, they have great players like Cass going. Baby Knight's going to be there, a very underrated player from Denmark. They also have Jimpo, Fuser... Aristio's kind of the big Zerg there. So unfortunately for that tournament, this is definitely, like, looking at the list, it's definitely the second to the Gathering as far as, like, European big names. But this is still a very competent competition with a $6,500 prize pool, I think it is. So just give them a view. You know, dual stream that shit. Dual stream the shit out of that, actually. Even if you don't like to listen or watch, just mute that and dual stream the crap out of it. Go
absolutely,
run.
Dude.
Go walk your dog. Come home and watch it later.
That's whatever. Right. Do it. Do it. All right. Let's talk about, well, I mean, we almost like spent so much time. There's been, I'll tell you what, this is going to be like part one of this discussion. What we're going to do is we're going to take this into homework mode, or, you know, because I do think it's like a really, really interesting topic, and I don't feel like the amount of time that we have left will do justice to it. But let's do this by A, bringing it to everyone's attention. I've shared some links with you guys. This has been the most requested thing on Inside the Game in terms of we want to hear your guys' opinions on it. Mm-hmm. God, I better have the web page open.
Goddamn build up for this one.
I bet you I don't.
It's in the email you sent us.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Idra, for saving me. Now I've just actually got to go to my, like, sent mail and find it. Okay. So, yeah, sorry about the build up there. So, this particular item was actually brought up by a fellow named Baron. And, yeah, do you know which one it is now?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, the breadth of gameplay in StarCraft II.
Baron Samedi, of course.
It's been getting a lot of rounds lately. Obviously, you can see that this is a massive Team Liquid thread. Reddit got you know, involved with it. There was some interesting discussion there. And you know, the whole concept on the most, you know, basic level is fewer resources per base. And this particular article is so in-depth that there's no way that we could actually give you a full overview. You know, you really should go and check this out yourself. And interestingly enough, he's actually gone through and he has red bracketed everything that is actually, like, if you're just going to skim it, if you just want the gist of it, then you could kind of go through that way. But there's an amazing amount of not only perspective, but discussion amongst what different people think. They actually compare the maps itself. But the sort of meat of it is that, you know, what if there were fewer minerals for fewer bases to increase the amount of smaller engagements that could happen to bring more meaning to, you know, these engagements and the way that the game plays out. Like, obviously, again, this is very, very surface level. But are any of you guys familiar, at least, with this particular thread or the topic of discussion at all?
I skimmed it when you showed it to me this morning, and I've heard people talking about the idea for a while.
So, did you happen to read up at all on it, Greg? I mean, I know I didn't give you much time, but...
No, like I said, I skimmed the thread. It's an interesting idea, and I think if it works out, like as they seem to intend it, then it would be really good, just forcing more expansions. Like you said, that's going to bring about more smaller fights, smaller attacks, because you're going to be fighting over those expansions. You're not going to have as much sit on two bases and do an all-in because people can't go. Like
I don't know, though. Hold on, sorry to cut you off. Keep going.
I because right now...
Consider it. I don't know, and Greg's like, done! Done fucking talking.
Well, I was gonna say, it seems like... I mean, I just see an inherent problem just hearing everything we've said and just glancing over this real quick.
What?
If you encourage expansions and it creates more smaller battles and you have less resources per base, you're also inherently increasing Terran to have more command centers, which inherently gives Terran a ridiculous advantage. So if we're talking
about...
Wait
a second. If there's less resources and they're spending 400 on command centers like fucking crazy...
It doesn't matter, though. The capacity to like continually expand and then also float orbitals
you actually have to take those expansions to have the expansions. So
I agree. I think that Terran would have a pretty big advantage in a game like that you're describing. I think PFs would be even better than they are, and I think that having extra command centers and that many mules at your disposal, just because think about it, if you're playing that style of a game, it's going to come down to situations where, like, taking an expansion is very difficult because you both have so many bases, and it's easy in situations like that for Terran to, like, lift an orbital, land, drop 15, 20 mules, and just totally eat up one of those low resource expansions.
Well,
this game style doesn't make it easier to take expansions, it makes it more important to. And if anything, it's harder to, because it's a bigger percentage of your income. There's 400 murals you have to invest in it, and then the planetary or the orbital upgrade. Those are more resources. That's like a bigger percentage of your income because you're actually pulling in less resources from this smaller base.
The whole reason you'd expand more pain user is so that you're on a new base that's not mined out. So having 15 orbital command centers, like I think you're trying to get at, wouldn't really... It just wouldn't make any sense because you're still on like two mining bases.
Let's pull back a little bit, right? Because there's obviously... I don't think anyone could say, well, yeah, you just leave StarCraft II the way it is and you just like erase a couple of mineral patches and fucking everything's golden and we're all good to go. It's obviously not that simple, right? So
I totally understand. Like,
but what about from this perspective? Like, let's say from an economic standpoint, you know, everything's balanced and it makes sense. Would it actually be more indicative of skill and exciting as a spectator to see smaller engagements where microing a single unit can actually have a significant outcome on a battle? Because one of my favorite examples is, you know, 20 Zerglings versus 10 Marines says, you know, depending on the situation, this would be something that the Zerglings could win. But 200 Zerglings versus 100 Marines is, like, fucking ridiculous. Like, there's no way that 200 Zerglings are winning that battle, right? So the concept being that if the engagements are left to, you know, to sort of these smaller, more micro-intensive engagements, that maybe that would produce a better game. And I already see people saying, yeah, like Brood War. And I don't think the goal of what Baron's doing is to, say, turn StarCraft II into Brood War. It's why not use some of the awesome capacity that these units have in their ability to fight in the battles that take place and, you know, maybe improve the game that way. So from a micro perspective and that thought, you know, Idra, did you get that? Do you want to comment on that at all?
I certainly think that if we switch to this and everything were balanced around it, like, I think there's some things that would definitely have to be balanced. But I think if everything were balanced and we just had a lower income, more expansion-heavy type of game, it would definitely be more skill-intensive, just like Brood War skill and whatnot, because, as I said, there'd be less units, control becomes more important. It also, macro is more difficult because economic management is a big part of macro. And to secure expansions, take more expansions at the proper timing, and balance out your unit production with when you're going to expand, when you're going to have that next boost of income. That becomes a lot more difficult to have the maximum possible amount of units. Just in general, I think it would be really, really good for the mechanical skill required to play the game.
Jeff?
Yeah, I think it would be a really good thing if we could make it work properly. Okay.
Jeff, I want to hear from you. I think you had something to say earlier about what we were talking about.
Yeah, I have two main things that I want to say, and I would like to preface this with I'm typically the voice of caution. I'm typically the voice of change is bad and scary, so take that for what you will. I'm very willing to accept that people just flat out disagree with me. That's fine. On the one hand, I philosophically like this issue is resolved in my head as like, wouldn't it be nice if, and then they just like they did this dream thing where they're like, you know, with less money, there'd be more micro, it'd be fantastic. But as Greg kind of alluded to, but this is in my opinion, like, this is such a critical point that I actually can't get past it. We'd have to balance so many other things to make this even feasible. You do, like DJ Weed did a satire on, you can't actually just take this game and reduce the amount of income you have, and then there you go. StarCraft II is fixed. There's so many other problems alongside that, and also it's just such a pipe dream that I have like a tough time even considering it. It's like, wouldn't it be wonderful if you know, the game is perfectly balanced, and we're all just like, yeah, that'd make the game better.
I realize what you say. Like, it's a really, really difficult thing to say, dude, well, we'll just, everyone will adapt it, and it will be like fucking butter, and it will be perfect. And, I mean, because the task that you pose is a ridiculously difficult one, right? And who even has the qualifications to be able to do that? You know, however, with that being said, when we historically look at some of the most popular professional games that have existed on the circuit, a lot of them have thrived because of pro mods that were created to enhance the competition. Maybe this isn't something for Wings of Liberty, but maybe this is something for... No, you're still saying no. It's just too impossible.
This game is the traumatic after effect of what happens when a company like Blizzard has one of their babies taken from them and, like, taken to new heights by Kespa. This game is going to be held so close to the chest by Blizzard that the idea of a pro mod being, like, something that Blizzard, A, endorses and, B, allows to exist is an even bigger pipe dream. Like, if we're on the subject, I'd like to add my pipe dream, and that is that $1 million falls out of Barrison's ass tomorrow in the yard, and
come
I collect
on.
It.
Are you really,
I think he's right. I was saying it'd be great if it could happen, but you have to add that because it's not going to happen. Like, I'm pretty sure Blizzard would have to be on board anyway, because it's going to require rebalancing for something as big as that.
Blizzard controls everything, man. That's why they're not letting Battle.net be LAN. Is because they absolutely want to have the power to say, oh, you're doing that thing we didn't approve of. Get the fuck out! And they hit their button, and you have to get the fuck out because they control that. So if you, like, a pro mod situation is... That's basically, like, the community being like, Blizzard, Activision, that game you guys made, we made it better. And we're going to use it now in competition. And then Blizzard goes...
No.
So much. Like, that is so good to hear. Like, no. That doesn't happen.
Well, I mean, I think a pro mod's pretty... It's just not very feasible. But if someday maybe we got, like, the large leagues behind it and the community behind it, it might be a possibility. But I totally agree with you.
We won't be able to get to that point because we have to have their support to do it in the first place. Like...
Yeah, just to even get it off the ground.
Yeah, and the amount of tweaking and balancing and getting better player used
to it.
All that aside, can we all agree that something needs to be done to encourage more
small-scale
battles?
I don't know that necessarily something has to be done.
Yeah.
But I mean,
just
like,
the way the game is.
If obviously this is not necessarily a... you know, if like you guys say, if a full change can never happen, and I can live with that, you know, like it is pretty crazy to think about what would have to go into that. Like, maybe this has a potential to be a map type that, you know, already there's a lot of testing. And if you're interested in knowing more and seeing the outcome it has on the game, there are maps up on the ladder where you can just go and see what a 6-mineral base does to your game versus, like, a 7 or an 8-mineral base.
Yeah, maybe you could have, like, different maps in a tournament pool with different amounts.
We've kind of already seen it, right? We've seen pocket expansions that have less patches, but these are actually full, you know, nats and mains. They've like got the 6 mineral 2 gases, 6 mineral 1 high yield gas. You know, you can actually find them in that thread.
So different from starting with a different resource count. Like that's you can't do
even
that.
Natural. I don't think you even have natural with.
If you're trying to reduce the amount of variables in a competitive game where you want to get the best player to win, you cannot include maps that have just like today the 2 NBA teams will be playing on a 17-inch basketball rim. And tomorrow it'll be 22 just to see what the difference will be. Like, that changes things, man. You can't do that.
I agree. You have to have some sort of continuity with maps. And it would have to be, like, a switch that was accepted by everyone. Yeah, I think that map design is the key, though. Because that's the only thing we really do have control over, right? So somebody's mic's going...
Craig's getting attacked by a wind monster.
Koa
freaked out when Anna came in, and she pulled the cord out of my mic. So
there you go.
We shall see.
Right. Now, it is on the ladder, and I just want to... Like, this is something we haven't had to deal with for a while, so it's really cool for... I hope a lot of people play on it, and I hope they share their opinions, and if it is something that's actually better for the game... Get to the forums, pick at Dustin Browder's house, like go do that stuff. But pro gamers cannot spend that time.
Yeah, you guys should work on the sound issues, Jeff. We can't hear it.
All right, hold on. You know what I think happened? Hey, Greg, if maybe when Poa pulled it out, it defaulted back to your webcam. Can you check that?
Nah, I checked that. It's not that, and it's not automatically adjusting, so I don't know.
Will you just, like, change it to your webcam real quick and then, like, change it back?
Okay.
All right. God, Poa. Hello?
Yo.
Oh. Okay, now it's definitely on your webcam.
Okay, how about now?
That's fixed.
It's better. Good. Yep. Word.
The basic point I was just making is that pro gamers can spend an exact 0 minutes on this because none of this stuff may ever come to fruition, in which case any moment, like any amount of time spent on this would be effectively a waste of time. So, I mean, if you're relaxing, you got nothing better to do, then sure, go ahead. But for the most part, nobody should expect pro gamers to spend serious time working on this.
Yeah. I mean, you know, to me, it's just a very interesting outlook on it. And, like, this isn't a one-page thread that some guy just, like, haphazardly threw up there. There's obviously a lot of, you know, and that's why I will read any of that, you know, and just take it seriously. Because, like I said, in a lot of cases, those pro mods have actually improved the game. Now, you know, again, going back to the huge undertaking that would take, it certainly would be one hell of a task. And, you know, I thought it'd be interesting to chat about. I'm glad at least we brought it up, hear your perspectives on it. But let's hear some final thoughts, and then we'll go ahead and open up the phone lines for the last half hour. Anyone, final thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it's part one. I'd definitely be looking forward to, so, like, people can post in our thread, and if you have counter arguments or things you want us to talk about, definitely post in there. We all read it. And then next time we do Inside the Game, we can touch on those subjects. But as far as I'm concerned, like, it's a really cool idea. And I'm really appreciative that there's people out there that care so much. Like, Baron didn't actually just write up this thread beautifully. He actually promoted it and went around asking people to actively talk about it. And on the one hand, it's easy to look at that and be like, he's just trying to draw attention to his own idea. But on the other hand, it's a guy who feels passionately about this game. He's looking for ways to try and improve it. And he wanted people to start talking about it. And the conjecture alone is valuable. If you agree or disagree, talking about it allows you to solidify your stance and share your thought process with other people and really just educate. So big hats off to him. And again, if you guys want us to talk about something in that regard, please post in the Inside the Game thread.
Excellent. Great. Let's open up those phone lines. They've already been blowing up, believe it or not, before they even got open, so the instructions to do so, really easy. Just
nice.
Skype us at DJ Weed or telephone 909-581-8519. Don't forget, if you're going to Vegas this weekend for IPL4, to tweet at us, let us know, at PainUser, at IdraJIT. if you're headed off to PAX, or maybe you'll be at the Boston Barcraft, hit up myself at DJ Wheat or at EG in Control. And let's take the first caller of the night. We got Tim on the line. Hello, Tim. Welcome to Inside the Game. What's up? Hi, Tim. Oh, my God. You know what?
Oh, hello?
What?
Hello, Tim.
Hi. Tim? I just wanted to make a comment.
Can you not? Can you? Hold on. Host, can you hear Tim?
No.
Okay. You're going to have to stand by 1 second, Tim.
All right.
I just remember how I was having all those problems with the sound card? I actually disabled that sound card, now realizing that I need to open it back up. And the fact that I can do this in real time is pretty pretty amazing. But, all right. Tim?
Hello?
Okay, you're still on the auto one. I'm going to pick up your call again, okay? All right, sorry about that, guys.
That's all good.
We're going to take Tim's call again. So, all right, Tim.
Hey, how are you guys? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can.
Okay, you can now? Okay, great.
Indeed.
Great, perfect. What's up, Tim? Go ahead.
This is mainly towards, like, I was just wondering what, like, your guys' thoughts were on all this esports and fighting games and MOBA games, because honestly, I don't think those games are esports. I think StarCraft II is really the only hard game, and they really don't deserve to be called esports.
That's kind DJ of a that's kind of an interesting perspective, but
DJ Wheat just got his face.
I mean,
shut on.
No, I mean, I don't know. I definitely have thought about that question a lot, man. You know, I've been playing competitive games forever, and screw you, Jeff. I've been playing competitive games forever, and I've thought very similar along that line of logic. Like, to me, Quake is the SC Brood War of first-person shooters. It's super clean, super basic. It's got all the good things that you would need in an FPS. And I feel like Brood War and StarCraft II are that for the RTS genre. I feel like they are the game that's been designed from the ground up to be competitive. And as far as MOBAs are concerned, I mean, you kind of have to like respect each different genre of games because they have their own community, and I'm sure they're just as diehard about defacing the StarCraft community, right? They're like, oh, you know, look at these guys. They don't understand like the heroes and the skill setups we use and how complicated it is and the strategy that goes into the picks.
I think
and
most
stuff
of them
like
realize that.
That
their game is easy, and that I don't think they really think that.
Well, they're not alone in their thoughts, though. Like, keep in mind, the League of Legends community is enormous. We can't refute how many people watch it and how many people play it, right? I mean,
and if anyone who plays League of Legends thinks their game is an actual esport, they're delusional.
Right, well, by definition, though, isn't their game an esport? I mean,
by definition, right? But my problem is when people like DJ Wheat go out talking about how fighting games are esports and all that bullshit.
And all that bullshit.
Okay. Well, first of all, Wheat, I'd like to start off my response with hang the fuck up on this guy because he's completely
up,
fucking.
Fat,
oh shit, Tim! You just got served, motherfucker!
When did things
get
so hostile?
And now that we got trash the fuck out of here, let's go ahead and talk about this kid. So while he was sitting in his basement, shut the fuck up, Painters, for 1 second.
What just
he's
happened?
He's reaching into his bag of Doritos and saying, "Mom, Mom, make the meatloaf," okay? And he's down there being a dumb piece of shit. He's like, "I'll know what I'll do. I'll call Inside the Game, and I'll try to make fun of every other fucking video game ever played." And then he goes, "Hey, Inside the Game." He's like, "I think all games are terrible. What do you guys think about it?" Paige's like, "Well, I've often thought about that." Like, that kid needs to become funny and then make that phone call. So what he needs to do is get outside of his house, glare into the sun, and claw away at the fungus and the eye boogers that developed over the years of trolling shows terribly. And then he needs to get outside the house and have JYP punch him in the fucking face.
Hey, that's JYP?
Yeah.
Hey, In Control, tell JYP that I think he's got a beautiful voice.
DJ Wheat, your voice? Okay? It's like...
Oh.
for your voice.
Oh, my God. I cannot wait until the next time I see JYP and I'm just going to ask him to, like, read from a card for me or something like that. It's, he's going to be so scared because of all this setup from In Control. All right. Let's
can we
take...
talk about this, though? Like, guys, go watch old epileptic gaming videos for how to control a fucking show. Like,
properly.
If you call in, you got to be funny. Words to avoid. I just have one question. Do not start off with that. We know that you're trolling. It does not work. The next one is you can't sound like a retarded stoned person. If you sound like that, we know that you either are or that you're trolling again.
All right. So, In Control, I'm going to give you the option. I can block Tim right now. From
give him his rebuttal.
What do you think? No, I mean, I'm going to block him. Like, he will never, ever, 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 unless he makes a new account, be able to call in. Are you?
Did you guys really perceive him starting off as a troll? Off
oh,
the
absolutely.
Get-go?
He
I
was.
Didn't at all.
Yeah. Chat, who has, like, the best collective memory in the world, let us know that that was the same person who called up to let us know about Tasteless's heroin addiction. So, there you go.
Okay.
So, there you go. He just got the block.
I don't know. I still think it's an interesting question. Like,
boom!
Screw the guy who delivered it. Like,
of course,
I think it's actually pretty interesting. Like, how do we define which games we actually consider esports? Is it just if there's a tournament with money?
Yeah,
you don't define. If the game wants to elevate it and have broadcasts and try to monetize and create professional atmospheres for their players, who the fuck are we as a StarCraft community to be like? Well, what is your average revenue?
Yeah, exactly.
How many people watch your stream?
I mean, you know.
Who cares? If there's a Tetris community in India, okay, and they have 37 people show up and they watch this shit on a big screen, and they make their spicy food and they drink their Indian beer, that is esports. They just did it.
All right, let's take another call. Let's take another call. We've got Michael on the line. Michael, hello. Welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
Hello. I was just calling to kind of like... can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Michael. Go ahead.
I was just kind of calling to... I kind of had a realization how much of an impact that developers can have on like how successful their game can be, kind of thing. Like,
sure,
you're talking about earlier how Blizzard kind of like they kind of control and like the way that their game can be like changed, and I don't know, if you look at like Dota 2 or for example, they're like Valve are really active in like they're letting LAN happen. They're hosting the 1 million tournaments.
Yeah, I mean, let's just to get to the point. Like, obviously, developers are definitely taking a much more active role. Like, we've seen Valve do it, we've seen Riot do it, we've seen Blizzard do it, and each one has a different route in terms of, you know, in terms of like how they're going about it. So, I mean, yeah, absolutely. Like, developer support is key. I would probably say, and I don't know, I would turn to you guys, Pinies or Idrin, In Control, in comparison to some of the other games, you know, where would you rate Blizzard in the grand scheme of their support? Because on one hand, even though we bitch that they don't give us, like, the services and what we want in Battle.net, they still are very active in promoting the major competitions, bar craft scenes, etc. What do you guys think? And Michael, thank you for your call.
They're not even...
Sorry, go ahead, Greg.
Go ahead, go ahead.
I don't think they're even that active in promoting it relative to some of the others. Like, relative to Riot, it's nothing. They put up those little blog posts, and they have a little ad scroller on the front page once in a while. But there's so much unused space, it could just be, like, it would cost them nothing to put up extra ads there and to more actively promote it. Like, they have a tiny little esports division that is overworked just running a tournament. They don't do shit for esports, really.
I think a lot of our opinions are going to be short-sighted just because up until now it's been pretty bad, but supposedly what they're doing with their BlizzCon replacement is supposed to be very, very awesome. I obviously agree with Greg that they could do a lot more advertising, but I think they are moving in the right direction. So it's not fair to necessarily compare Blizzard to Riot just because those kind of comparisons are a little bit silly. Like, it'd be nice if we had
streams embedded into Battle.net just for everyone's benefit. Advertisement there is actually no excuse for. So I hope they do more of that. But I think with the BlizzCon replacement, it's supposed to get better.
Well, the funny thing is, advertisement is like the thing that they do best for esports, relatively. At IEM, I remember talking to Carmack. He said that Riot sent like two or three people just to do tech support live at the event, like in case anything happens to their servers, they have knowledgeable tech people on site to fix it as quickly as possible. When's the last time you saw Blizzard with that level of like they get?
I think when WoW Arena came out, actually, probably, you know, when they were actually taking the realms to the competition itself.
But yeah, StarCraft 2, hell, every MLG we have to wait 20 minutes to warm up because they blacklist the event for having too many on the same IP. Like, they don't even pay attention when the events are happening, much less help technical issues.
I think it's sort of like, you see this developer support, it's obviously there, but you certainly as a player would just like to see more of it. Fair enough. But
I think they just don't really care. Like, they get a much better return on investment out of casuals and developing Diablo and the next new game than catering to esports. Like, we're going to play the game one way or the other, and they don't see the potential. They don't see the value in actually encouraging the competitive scene, which is sad because there's a lot of it there. They just don't seem to care about it.
Well, we hope that this changes for sure. Let's take another call. Well, this time we have got Brad on the line. Hello, Brad. Welcome to Inside the Game. What's up? Bradley. Brad, don't make me use your middle name.
Yeah,
Brad.
I'm here, guys. Oh. Give me one sec to change my setting.
Oh, yes. Let us wait for you. We will wait indefinitely.
I apologize.
We will wait indefinitely. Look at In Control. He's so ready to wait.
All right. How's it going, guys?
It's going good, man. What's your question?
All right. This is more of a personal question. So, theoretical situation. You're married, right? Now, you and your wife swap bodies for a day. Do you have sex to try it out? Because it's not gay, right?
Just shower all night, all day.
Have sex to try it out?
Yeah, shower.
I would just shower. By myself, warm water, soap.
So Kenny G, some bath salts.
And then, And then afterwards, what I would do, because I presume that after the day you swap back into the other body, I would tattoo on my hand the things that I want her to do for me on a regular basis.
What I love is that obviously Jeff has thought this one out. Like, you know, whether or not that one day I've seen those movies, they happen one too many times, man. I'm going to get swapped.
So the one day shower, the tattoo on the hand. And then what I would also do is I would set up, you know, like those movies that they have, like the elaborate traps that go around the entire house.
Of course.
I would have her wake up. Okay, and it would start the trap, and, like, it would launch her into the kitchen. She'd be making pancakes. She wouldn't quite understand it, because there's, like, things flying around and shit grabbing her. And then it would carry her away, and she'd, like, clean the room, and then she'd come down, and she'd, like, be giving me a back rub. She didn't understand what's going on. And then it would whisk her away.
Wow.
And that would be the entire next day, too. So, like, your question, I took it, I answered it, and then I went to the next day, and I gave it a response to what happened the next day.
All right, Brad, thank you for your question.
You went above and beyond. I love all four of you guys.
Thank you, sir.
Good luck with IPL.
Take care.
Thank you, sir.
All right. You guys didn't get to answer. I frankly would try to see how much free shit I could get by using my breasts.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that would be like it'd be like a little game, I think.
Get pulled over like 7 times and just cry each time and figure out like how many times you can get out of it.
Yeah.
Go faster and faster every time. See if there's
extra. You know what else I would do too? Here's the next thing. This is actually, guys, this is next level shit. Are you ready for this?
What?
I would throw myself at my friends and I would see which one of my friends is true. Okay? I would walk down those stairs right there wearing a bikini and I would see that lap over there. I would caress those shoulders and I'd be like, you know, we could just.
Jeff's not here.
Could just go upstairs, like, totally have sex. And if Greg's like, well, I suppose that makes sense. He'd get I'd be like, you're no friend to me.
Oh. Taylor?
I mean, I have no idea.
All right.
I'm so lost right now.
Like, that's fine. Let's try to take
a movie about switching bodies.
Yeah, they've made a lot of them, man. They've made a lot of them. All right, let's take this call. Wait, he hung up. Okay. Let's take Jesus. Stop hanging up, you. Because I will take yours.
They just
in a
like the call part. That's the chase, the thrill. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you know
just
what
I like
do? Answer. Yeah. It takes all the excitement out. They're like, well, fuck, if he's going to answer the call, you know.
All right. I mean, there's literally. We're taking a telephone number then. We've got area code 781. Hello, welcome to Inside the Game. What's up? Oh my god. Yeah, it's you. It's. Oh shit. Oh shit. We got a fucking Rickroll. Okay. Great. Great work. That was fantastic. Miller. Hello. Welcome to Inside the Game. All right. Thanks, Miller. One that I know we can always rely on. Ladies and gentlemen, Goat Lust. Hello.
Already?
Welcome to Inside the Game.
You're just done.
That was the Rickroll Goat Lust. Just pulling him out of the hat with no warning.
Sorry. I had to quickly fucking yank us out of 2006 with the moment that fucking the Rickroll song started playing. I'm like, oh my fucking god, we're in 2006, and I had to like yank us violently back into 2012, you know, where fucking irrelevant internet memes are no longer funny and there's actually new and more hilarious shit you could be fucking doing. Woo! Back in 2012. Hello, Goat Lust. What's
where's
up?
Where's our browsers question?
Oh,
you know
fuck
what I mean?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, indeed.
Yeah, it tries to be the troll day, and they don't even use that. Yeah.
Everybody's so excited today. The hell's going on?
Paige's like, what? Usually I'm the one.
Ah, everybody's got to go to the gym and run a mile, dude. We got to
exactly describe that. That's
hello, Goat Lust. I know that yeah. It's like, it's like, is it night or day where you are?
It's 10:49 in the morning.
Oh, shit!
Jeez, yeah. So,
wow.
It is night.
So yeah. We're 1 hour ahead of Korea. So
Dude, so you have like the best GSL viewing experience ever.
Yeah. Well, you already know.
Well, you can actually
that,
watch it.
Though,
yeah. That's right. I did. I was asking stupid questions to fill time, man. You caught me red-handed.
I swear we've talked about that before, yeah.
We did, I've got to hear my Goat Lust file that I keep on you. Mm. Yeah, I was just seeing.
How are you, Jeff?
I'm good, man, thank you. Thank you for asking. How are you, Goat Lust?
Yeah, not bad, mate. Not bad.
I'm someday going to come to Australia.
Yeah, I hope so. We can get some
the continent of Sydney.
Wait, what are you going to get with Air Control?
Well, some international SC2 action.
Oh, right. I'm hoping that if I come to Australia, you'll take me on a walkabout.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Show us what Vegemite is. Still not clear on that.
Hopefully you can see a few snakes and shit, eh?
Yeah. Vegemite's nasty, by the way, Idra.
What is it?
Vegemite is literally like a yeast. Yeah. Yeast and salt and... Do you eat that shit, Goat Lust?
Oh, I don't like it. It's
good.
Horrible.
Good. I don't understand.
Does Australia actually like it, or is that just a joke thing?
Oh, I don't know. Some people like it, but yeah, I reckon it's a bit of an acquired taste. You know, like
can we be honest? Is it the Kiwis that like it?
Shit, it's horrible as well. The people.
Vegemite butter's pretty good though.
Is it the Kiwis that like it, Goat Lust?
No, I don't think so. Not the Kiwis.
Not even them.
Yeah. I don't know if the Kiwis are into that sort of shit, but yeah, you can have it anywhere, I guess. But yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Anyhow, gentlemen.
What's the question?
The question this week is: I was calling up because there were so many fuckheads who sounded like perhaps they were on drugs calling in this week. It got me thinking. It got me thinking about, like, performance-enhancing drugs in, like, esports sort of shit. And I was wondering, like, do you think this is going to eventually be something that's an issue in StarCraft 2? Because I knew there was some stuff in Brood War where they'd give a dude something to calm his nerves and that sort of stuff.
It is an issue, dude. I can tell you right now, firsthand. Like, I know tons of players who abuse Adderall. 100%. Half the kids in our generation have
abuse or have taken
ADHD.
It.
ADHD. Okay, there's a fine line.
Half well, no, I'm asking. I'm like, it's a legitimate question.
Look,
I don't mean okay, to like
call
you out.
It is a legitimate question, but I know people. I have ADHD, but my doctor was going to prescribe me Adderall and Ritalin multiple times in my life, but I've chose not to because, yes, I may have ADHD, but I don't want to be legally prescribed speed for the rest of my life. I don't think that that's necessarily a healthy thing. And at some point, like, it became okay for doctors to prescribe speed to 50% of our generation. But I think that speed, which is what Adderall is, essentially, gives you an inherent advantage in a game like StarCraft. I mean, it just does. I've tried Adderall for studying before. I've played video games while studying when I was on Adderall before. And it makes you way better at the game. You can't refute that. You're faster. You think quicker. Your hands move quicker. So, I mean, testing for it is just completely out of the question because it would be so expensive. I mean, imagine MLG sitting down and saying, oh, we're going to piss test all of our competitors across the board. I mean, it's just the associated cost. There's no way for them to really regulate it. Oh, when there's enough money in the game, though, I think that it will become an issue, and I think it's something that tournament organizations are really going to have to look at some point because, you know, I'm not sure how deep the problem goes. I don't know, you know, how many players use it at tournaments, how many players don't. I think it's really hard to find out, to be honest, but I'd really be interested how many, you know, kids have legitimate Adderall prescriptions that compete in top-level tournaments and, like, which top players actually use it on a regular basis. And a lot of gamers in general just have ADD and ADHD. I mean, a huge percentage. So I don't know where you
test everything. They should just test the top four or the top eight after the fact. I'm not sure how the tests work for it, but assuming you can do that, that's what they should be doing. But in general, they just have very few countermeasures against a lot of different kinds of cheating. I think MLG might do it sometimes, but not all the time, and IPL didn't. Just removing your cell phone before you go in the booth, because, you know, someone sitting out of the audience watching, you agree beforehand. You send a text if they're going DT, or you call them if they're going Void Ray, and then do something else that causes three vibrations.
Have you ever asked to, ever been asked to remove your cell phone?
GSL doesn't. They take your phone away. And I know some foreign league does, at least some of the time, but I forget which one it is. But most of them don't. So
no, they don't.
It should be looked into.
And what I've been doing is if Greg has, a timing coming at him, I flash my laser pointer into his eye. It's like, one, two.
It's coming.
Three immortals.
So he's already pissed before the battle even begins.
Vibrate, time the rings. One vibrate, he's rushing you. Two vibrates, he's going macro.
I mean, it's
something like that is actually, entirely viable.
I know it is. But
there's nothing to stop it from happening either. And I'm sure there's other stuff that we just haven't thought of, but
as far as Admiral's concerned, I don't think simulants are that big of a deal. I think actually they're pretty fantastic. And if a kid's got ADHD, who are we to say to take that shit? You know what I mean?
Well, I don't know if they should be taking legal speed like fingers. But add something like Monster per se to give them extra energy and help them focus.
It's
now if they were taking a shitty energy drink.
Oh my god. Oh, I see where you're going.
Bad energy. And I don't tell you what I'm talking about. But Red Bull, think about it for a second. If you're taking a bad shitty drink, we are obligated to give them a monster. Just one monster.
Pushing it.
And you see if they still have that problem afterwards.
Moment of silence for that endorsement. Good job, Jeff.
It's not only a debate about performance-enhancing drugs and sports, it's also a debate about, modern medicine and where you draw the line on... And then also, how do you differentiate between, kids that do have an Adderall prescription and they actually have ADD and they're taking... whatever dosage of Adderall is prescribed at all of these major events, and what if it happens to be a top eight player?
This is actually something that has been brought up, in the past. It's certainly not the first time this issue's been addressed. There was a documentary that was released a long time ago called Frag, And that was one of the major sort of storylines of it all. But they kind of paint this horrible picture of, like, doom and gloom, and nothing has ever happened. Like, I, you know, in all the time that I've been involved in esports, I've heard of it, you know, just like, just like Pain User said, you know, but I can't say that I've ever, like, witnessed anything and gone, oh my God, I guarantee you that that dude was on something when he won, because that was just too, I mean.
Well, no, that's.
You see how focused he is? That ain't normal focus.
That's not even normal.
His eyes didn't dilate when those tanks sieged up, man. He's fucking fearless.
You guys are totally romanticizing it, though. Like,
but aren't we?
See a kid like foaming at the mouth, like trying to win the finals, you know. But if you, like I said earlier, I've taken Adderall to study before, and I've played video games intermittently, and there is no question. There is no question. It makes you way faster. You're way more focused.
I don't know about that. Like,
I have a question. That's it.
Can that be realistically sustained over a 3-day weekend if an event's going on?
Can what be realistically sustained?
Can someone sustain that level of focus?
Well, that's where
without crashing.
Take enough to focus throughout a school day every day.
Yeah, that's where the Adderall actually come in most helpful. It helps you focus over long periods of time. You don't get tired. You don't start to get distracted or whatnot.
Yeah.
It actually make you play faster.
But over 3 days.
Can we get a blank question here? What if there's human replicating robots and, like, fuck the drugs, okay? Speed, out of the question. They don't even have to worry about focus because they're programmed solely for focus. Do we do tests? I don't think so.
Okay, let's bring this back. I'm going to ask a quick question to wrap it up. Goatlust, a good question. Let me ask this. Pain User, you first. At what point have we reached a level where we do need to test? And or do we kind of maybe segregate that top level, like Idris said, and say, top 8 of every tournament. Guess what? Not only do you get a check, but you also get this little cup to piss in.
I mean, for those of the players that are competing at the top and they're not using performance-enhancing drugs, and I could speak for myself personally, I would gladly piss in it, and I would love to see the results from everyone else. Like, it would be very interesting to see how that turned out. If MLG all of a sudden was just like, top 20, post-event, you guys want to collect your checks? This is part of the contract. Put it in ahead of time.
Boom. Turn your head and cough.
I mean, but at the same time, when you have sports and that kind of money and the kind of money that we're looking at now, you know, there is an inherent advantage in using performance-enhancing drugs. And obviously, we can't use anabolic steroids as, I mean, unless you're just really trying to get your finger dexterity, like, you know, inhuman or through the roof or something. But I don't even think that would really help us. It's a different form of drug that applies to a more cerebral game as opposed to a drug that's going to physically stimulate you and you know, make your muscles recover faster and build quicker. So I think it's a different genre of performance-enhancing drugs. You can't, like, compare it with the whole steroid.
Yeah. Now, the real question, Goatlust, is what happens when they legalize marijuana in the United States and suddenly everyone's just tearing through the MLG open brackets because they're fucking taking 9-foot bong hits before their matches.
In then an amazing we're really turn of in events. Trouble. The Pocket sponsorship has quadrupled. Their investment with MLG, we're not quite sure why this occurred, but all we can say is that the kids are loving it. And to you, Jane.
I mean, anybody who tries to make the argument that marijuana could be a performance-enhancing drug for StarCraft is out of their goddamn mind.
It was a joke.
Like, no doubt. I know, but people say that, though. Like, I was reading chat, and people are like, oh, but what about all the potheads?
Here's the problem.
Like,
so, hold on. Here's a great line from chat, right?
Wait, 1 second.
No, let me, okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, Louisville, or Lyleville, says, can't believe Wheaton and Control are trolling so hard when this is a legitimate issue. How the fuck do you tackle this quote-unquote legitimate issue? We, as show hosts, and talk about it, so what? So fucking what? it's not going to be until an NASL, an IPL, or an MLG actually declares this as a legitimate issue. Until then, I honestly, I don't know. I feel like I might be laughed at if I went to MLG and said, I feel like you need to start testing the players.
No, really? Like it's no, it's legitimate. No. They should be
it's
testing
totally legitimate.
Right now.
So, see,
hope,
so then should we make an effort?
Is they have men who are hired in piss green suits, okay? Pants, shirt, hat. And they go around and they say, piss him. And they test people sporadically for piss tests. Because you can't test everyone. It's too expensive. We don't have the technology. It's not there yet. So they just randomly test people.
All I know is I would test Bong Bong and those guys right off the bat. They're obviously on to something. The Koreans and their bong names. There's something going on there.
Oh, I thought you said you test positive or something.
I mean, you guys, I like, it's hard for me to take serious because I actually don't, I do not know anyone who has personally told me, Wheat, I take these. You know? I feel like I would know, you know, I've heard about it, but that's it. I can't quantify or qualify any statements that were, someone told me that they said this and they saw them take this. So unless an organization is legit, I mean, maybe it's the fucking team's responsibility.
No. You have to draw a parallel between other sports, I think.
Yeah,
there has to be a governing body that...
It's always
the
governing body, but since we don't have one, I guess it has to rely on the tournaments because the teams benefit. Like, if the players take Adderall and then play better and there's no repercussions, then it's kind of in the team's best interest.
The problem is, and here's why I think DJ Wheat and I were taking it pretty lightly. Okay, there is absolutely zero reason for any tournament anywhere to spend a fucking dime to piss test people because they get nothing out of it. If no other league is doing it, if this isn't an actual hot button issue, and they're just spending money so they can make the claim, our champion is the only one piss tested, and therefore a true champion. It doesn't justify the cost.
That's why this is important. People like either don't realize or don't care, but yeah. It hurts the legitimacy of the competition just like it does
yep.
in sport.
That is probably the best thing that has been said.
That's the closest we can get.
But then again, with no governing body, like what...
That's what I'm saying.
You know, I mean, like, how do we? There are some issues that just I find very, very difficult to be able to find a focal point on because I don't know where the focus actually lies. Is it the team? Is it the organizations? Is it a governing body? I mean, does KESPA or has any Brood War Korean organization ever done any sort of drug testing at all?
KESPA was the teams, and the Korean players did use them. So,
okay.
Well, I did. I never saw it, so I shouldn't say that, but they did.
But you know about it, right? Like I've heard about it too. It's not like it's like all like
doing this. Yeah,
it happens.
It is. So no one talks about it directly, and everyone does it in private. But it does happen.
Okay. Well, I mean, yeah. Again, I've heard it happen.
Some guys in the chat are so dumb too. They're like I'm trying to sidestep the issue. I would be the first person to piss in a cup on the guy's hand and on his chest. Then I would shove him over and say, "Go test that." If you think I'm at risk of taking Adderall, you've never met me at an event. Without the governing body, like we said, like this is such a hard issue to even take serious as far as I'm concerned. Like,
no, actually, it is very expensive. It is very expensive. Did you know that your average job who requires you to go for a piss test, your piss never leaves the lab? Because the moment that shit actually gets tested, it's like a big hefty price tag for your company. So the biggest deterrent, or actually the big scam behind drug tests as far as companies go, is they just want you to take it. If you go in and you take a drug test, they're like, well, I mean, fuck, we're not going to test them. It's going to cost us $700 or $1,000 to actually send this shit to the lab. Most of the time, it's fucking bullshit. So it is very expensive to drug test. I mean, I don't expect to see MLG like, hold on, I bought these at Walmart. Like, here you go. Like, okay, pee on this, just this part of the paper right here. I mean, like, if it's going to be legitimate, it has to be legitimate, right? It's going to a lab, et cetera.
Yeah, I mean, I think we touched on all the relevant facets of this conversation. You know, I agree, Wheat. Like, what do you do? It will come to a head at some point, though.
Did
once
you hear
there's
about
enough
someone
money,
taking it, oust him. Put him in the public. That's how you can do the public court, man.
I mean, yeah, but even that, it's like at the end of the day, you can't. It's just like a witch hunt. You can't prove anything.
Well, Reddit will love it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I don't know the exact number. I've never seen the thing, but from what I understand from talking to the guy, I asked him personally the last time that I had to go in for a drug test. I went in, I took my piss test, and I asked him, "Is this an expensive process for a company to do?"
Yeah.
And he says, "You know, yeah, it's a pretty expensive process. Go in to find, you know, more research. You can find it online. That, you know, most of the time." A small company, you think Burger King is sending off fucking lab results? Don't paste me a fucking $10 fucking kit, man. They're not. Never mind. That's done. There we go. I used to work at Human Resources in Rwanda.
You can't, like, hand a player a fucking personal drug test kit at a tournament and be like, hey, go to the laboratories real quick and meet us back here in 30 minutes. Like, and just handle that yourself. Like, yeah.
It's interesting, though. It's a good question, because I've definitely heard and seen people that take Adderall at tournaments. It does happen. I don't think it's nearly as... this might just be my optimism, but I don't think it's nearly as widespread as, like, some of the fighting game... Or not the fighting game, the first-person shooter game community's had for a while.
Yeah.
At least I haven't seen or heard of it, and I think I would be one of the guys that would have heard of it.
There's another great point, Jeff. Like, the FPS gaming community, it was like an epidemic. There were kids who were taking meth in Counter-Strike. I mean, I don't even know. There must be, like, it probably increases your reaction time, but, like, your cognitive function can't be through the roof. I mean, there's no way. Like, at some point, you're just, like, I don't know. But anyway, the Counter-Strike community had a huge problem with that. Around the CPL.
Well,
era.
You know what? I think all these fucking smart Alex in chat that know what the fuck they're doing need to get off their sorry asses and figure out how to fucking implement this. If it's such a big goddamn deal, then you guys figure it out. You fucking obviously have all the solutions. Go buy your $10 kits, fucking mail them to Sundance and be like, sir, this is how we're going to solve the problem. Goat lust?
That's fucking awesome. Get on it. Get a TL thread going, eh?
Something. I don't know. Like, you know, apparently it's a big issue. I just don't know what to do about it. You know, so are fucking people starving in Africa, man. And I wish we could fucking change that shit. But which one do we go after, man? The guys that are fucking winning StarCraft competitions by taking drugs, or the hungry kids in Africa, man? I don't. It's a tough call. Goatless, thank you for your call again.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, mate. Wait, sickest Cogmore.
Wait, what? What?
Sickest what?
Sickest Cogmore. Yeah, I've seen you've been playing that shit a ton.
Oh. I do have a pretty sick Cogmaw. Thank you very much, dude. I appreciate that. Don't tell Jeff what we're talking about, please, because he will actually...
Oh, shit.
I don't know what you're talking about. Go list. I'm hanging up on you, man. Peace. All right. Seriously. Final thoughts is we've got the EG Masters Cup coming up next. And make it quick. So pretend like you are a StarCraft II player on Adderall giving your final thoughts after winning competition. Pay needs to go.
First of all, I'm the last person to do that impression. Please follow me at PainUser on Twitter. Big shout-outs to Team Check 6 and our sponsors, TT Esports, Pure Trek, and End of Reality. And please, please stay tuned to IPL4 this weekend. It's going to be absolutely amazing. I hope everything goes off without a hitch. I'm really sad you guys can't be there. Well, I will get to see Greg, but you two have a great time at PAX.
Thanks, man.
Make sure, you know, you're exposing all the fans and just have a great time. And, I will reconvene with you guys hopefully next Tuesday, and we can talk about what a freaking awesome weekend of StarCraft we've all had.
Absolutely. This is what? Bad news. There's actually not a show next week.
Well, the week after that. Anyway, yeah. Thanks everybody for tuning in and watching. And, I'll see you guys in 2 weeks, I guess.
Excellent. Greg?
Follow me on Twitter at IdraJit, IdraJit. thanks to Team EG and all our sponsors, Intel, SteelSeries, Monster, Kingston HyperX, Beyond Gaming, and Sapphire. And thank you everyone for watching.
Excellent. Jeff?
Yeah, thank you everybody. Team Evil Geniuses are sponsors, like Andrew just said. Hopefully you guys can take it a little bit easy about the Adderall conversation. We're obviously having fun. Nobody's dying from Adderall ODs just yet, so if we choose to have fun with that subject, hopefully that's okay with you. If not, then you probably shouldn't be on the internet.
I can't believe people keep on sending these actual, like, buy this home drug test for $9.99 and thinking this is a legitimate answer to the solution. I'm sorry, Jeff. I didn't mean
it's
to kill
thrown
you.
Thrown out in the court of law. It's I will be at PAX East alongside Wheat and everybody else.
Yes.
Like I said, please do come out. I'm really excited for the Barcraft. I will do the best I can to responsibly get drunk within the confines of that legal building while watching StarCraft. Do check out the other tournaments that are going on, the Copenhagen Games and the Gathering. Big shout out to all those events. Hope they do well. It's getting to the point where we have that terrible, terrible situation where every tournament's stepping on every other tournament's toes because there's so much awesome going on. So we as fans got to do our best part to try and support all of them, you know, just to make it so that we always have the choice between watching tournaments as opposed to like, well, we only have WCG. Not anymore. yeah, and then just check me out on Twitter, EG and Control, also my stream and Control TV on Twitch TV. And it wouldn't be an In Control shout out without an announcement of announcement, but there's a very good chance that I have a pretty cool casting gig on the horizon pretty soon in a fashion that I haven't done before. You've heard me say this before, and it didn't work out. This one still might not work out, but it's pretty cool. And once it's absolutely 100% confirmed, I will then tell people about it.
Awesome.
But not until then.
I've got an actual announcement to make.
Those are good.
So yeah, do I, dude.
This is an actual announcement. As of yesterday, I've really, really been playing and putting a lot of time and effort into this particular game. And I'm happy to say, even though the name doesn't quite signify it as much as you might think, but in Hot Shots Golf World Tour on the PS Vita, I have now achieved bronze status, which, mind you, is higher than pro status. And I'm very proud of that. So that's all I've got to say. Guys, thanks for tuning in to Inside the Game. We will see you guys, Pain User and Idra at IPL4. Follow them at Pain User and at IdraJIT. You'll be able to check out myself and In Control at PAX, doing a little panel. Also check out the Kingston booth and the Twitch booth. And, yeah, you can follow us at DJ Wheat and at EG In Control. So thanks for joining us, and we will see you soon. More info via Twitter on what will happen with next week's show. I have some personal thing. If we can do it another time during next week, we definitely will. But until then, thanks for joining, and we'll see you guys next time on another edition of Inside the Game. Peace. Guys, coming up here in just a few moments, the Evil Geniuses Masters Cup Season 7. Stick around. We're coming at you right after this.